versus Gallo. TSN 690.
If man is the father, the son.
His passion for basketball knows no bounds. We Papa, Peter Yiannopoulos.
How you doing, Pete?
Good morning, fellas. I'm doing excellent today. How are you guys?
Doing very good. Always excited when we get an opportunity to talk to you on Campbell versus Gallo, RDS's Pete Yiannopoulos. So many stories across the NBA. 59 points for Joel Embiid the other day. But I'm going to go back to this past weekend, Pete. Ben Mathurin versus the Raptors, you know. Canada was going to get an eye on their next big Canadian player, and he was okay in that game.
No, he was. He was, and it's a transition, right? It's a learning process when you come into the NBA. When you put up 100 points in your first five games, people are going to start noticing you, specifically defenses. And when you look at Nick Nurse and the Raptors, one of the most innovative defensive coaches in the NBA, and they're like, hey, we're not going to let him get off specifically on the three-point line. He only had 2 points in the first half, but went off, I think, for 14 in the second half, played much, much better, got off his three in transition, and was able to attack the basket. But I think, you know, the Raptors are somebody that's always been, hey, we're not going to let any player, especially a rookie, come and give us the business. Ben has been doing that to a number of teams, but he struggled a bit against certain other teams, right? So it's the development process that he has. But it was great to see Ben, and it was exciting for him because, hey, he grew up, you know, watching the Raptors as a young kid from Montreal North, and now to be able to play against them, you know, on national TV, it was a special one for him and his family. And I think Nick Nurse knows Ben because he played a little bit with the senior national team at training camp 2 summers ago when he played for the U-17 team, or sorry, the U-19 team for Canada, won the bronze medal at the World Championship. So Ben is probably going to be somebody that's going to play for Nick Nurse. Is it going to be next year when they play in the World Championships or the World Cup, like we call it, the Olympics down the road? Let's see. But the one thing about Ben, and you know, we talked about it off air a lot, Sean, is that Ben wants to attack. Ben gets the ball. He's looking to make plays for himself and for his teammates. And I think the one thing that really separates him, that his ability to have a great start in the NBA career, is the ability to shoot the three ball. And when you could shoot that 3-point shot, the rest could come. And Ben has a little bit of a, hey, I'm here to prove myself. I think I'm the best player, and you're going to have to stop me. And that's what you need if you want to be an elite player in any professional sport. So a good start for Ben, and a surprising start for the Pacers. They're 6-6. They thought they were going to rebuild, but hey, they got some good young pieces, and we're seeing that in the NBA in general. Nobody's really taken off anywhere. There's a lot of teams that are in the mix, and that's why we have some parity, and that's a great thing for the NBA.
Yeah, so 6-6, 12 games into the season right now. So we've been able to see a little bit of that process for Mathurin that you're talking about. What would you consider, though, a good rookie season for him?
I think for him, obviously, is, you know, you want to develop as a player. And I think that's why they drafted him. And when you're in a team like the Pacers, you're not going for the championship this year. I mean, you're not going to make the playoff. I don't anticipate that. So for Ben, you want to make him develop in terms of weaknesses or little holes that he has in his game. We know, as we mentioned, that he could shoot the three ball. We know that he's a great transition player that could really play above the rim. But ever since he's got to Arizona, he's improved on his ball handling, decision-making, and creating for himself. And I think right now that's what we're seeing that I'm really impressed with. He gets to his spots, he's getting to the rim, and he's getting Gallo to the free throw line. So I think if he can continue to work on those facets, the rest will come. Because right now they're guarding him tight because he could shoot. He's 40% from the three-point range. So a great season for Ben, obviously. You know, can he get to the 18 points per game, maybe 20 points a game? Potentially. I think for him, it's just, can he mature as a player? Can he be a scorer? Can he be a facilitator? Can he be an elite defender? That is something that with his talent and with his lateral movement, he's so quick. But sometimes when you're a scorer, you don't put always that effort on the defensive end. They want him to be that dominant defensive player. And if he could do that, he said that, you know, when I asked him a long time ago, he said, hey, I want to be a franchise player in the NBA, but his main goal is to be rookie of the year. So for him, that's the ceiling. That's the bar. Pretty high. As long as he stays healthy and he keeps learning, but you know, he got some great praise by his point guard Tyrese Haliburton, he said he's never seen a player in the NBA, let alone a rookie, that on the flight back home, he's sitting in the back with the coaches looking at film, looking on the iPad and breaking it down. So Ben is a junkie in terms of a basketball junkie. He lives in the gym. He wants to get better, and now he has the tools with all these amazing assistant coaches and the way the technology is to get better. So I'm not concerned about how he's going to continue to develop. He wants it, but it's a great start. But again, I think that if he can continue working on those facets of his game, I think that's going to be a great rookie year for Ben Mathlin.
And now Joel with a screen. Harris with a dribble. Back to Joel. Three to shoot. Bridges are there. Here's a shot by Embiid. It's up and good. Rising at the white free throw line and making the field goal.
Yeah, Joel Embiid, 59 points this week. And anytime anybody gets over 50 nowadays, I mean, it turns heads. What's he doing right?
Well, he's trusting the process, right? Trust the process. Do you remember that, fellas? Oh, my God, that's taken some time, right? The tank for a lot of, you know, first-round picks, number one overall picks. It hasn't really, gone the way they hoped for in terms of getting a championship. But Joel Embiid is one of the top five players in the NBA. And I think right now what you're seeing, to put up 59 points as a center, because the ball is not in his hands, guys. He needs his guard to get him the ball. But they run their offense through him. Doc Rivers is an experienced coach, and he knows that, hey, you got to feed the big man, you got to keep him healthy. But here's another guy that's worked on his game. We talked about the development process with Ben Mathurin. Joel Embiid right now is able to shoot threes, able to handle the ball. He's able to get on that high post. And basically, if you lay off him, he's going to shoot that jumper from the foul line. If you get close to him, he's going to put one dribble and dunk on you. He could find players, he distributes. But it's the assists, it's the rebounds, you know. Joel Embiid and probably his family members and everybody in Philadelphia thought that he deserved to win the MVP. And probably I would agree with that. I thought they should have gave it a co-MVP to Jokic and Embiid. They were both so dominant. They gave it to Embiid. I think that Joel would love to win one. And he's like, what else do I have to do? But I think at his stage in his career, fellas, this guy wants a championship. I mean, he loves to win. You could see the emotion. 2019 devastated him when Kawhi hit that shot. He thought that he was going to, you know, maybe win his first championship. Last year, they beat the Raptors. He gets hurt a little bit. They had some injuries. Do the Sixers have enough for a championship? I don't think so. But the way he's able to articulate and verbalize his dominance in the game, I don't think he gets enough credit in an era where right now it's all wings and guards and three-point shots. Embiid is, and this will make Shaquille O'Neal happy, go get that barbecue chicken. Give him that barbecue chicken and dominate in the post, baby. And I love Embiid, and I think that he's one of the great personalities in the NBA. He expresses himself. Nothing wrong with that. But you see a little bit more of a maturity level. He's toned it down a little bit. He's a father right now. But at the end of the day, when you could put up 59 points in an NBA game today as a 7-foot-1 center, Embiid is the real deal. And with him and Jokic, you could flip them around. But these are the two dominant big men that we have in the game today.
Pete, the Cleveland Cavaliers are a very interesting team. So they make the big move to get Donovan Mitchell in the offseason. And early on, it looked like it was working. And there was a chemistry there with Mitchell and his teammates. 8-1 to start the season. But they have now dropped four games in a row. Which team is the real team? The 8-1 start or the team that's dropped four?
Yeah, that's a good point, Gallo. And you think of Cleveland and poor Cleveland, right? They haven't had a lot of success. They win in 2016. LeBron leaves, and then it's like, man, what's going to happen to this franchise? But credit, they've built this team through the draft, through strategic trades. And nobody thought that Donovan Mitchell, born and raised in New York City, was going to not go to the New York Knicks. Instead, the Cavaliers get him. So I think that right now, Mitchell is finding his way with that team. Darius Garland is another all-star point guard. So now you got like two ball-dominating guys. Garland got hurt in the first game of the year against Toronto. So he missed a lot of the game. So Mitchell was putting up all these points. So I think the chemistry, the symmetry is not quite there between Garland and Mitchell. Will Mitchell play more off the ball? I think so. But Mitchell wants that ball in his hand to go high pick and roll and create and make decisions. But I think, you know, injuries have happened a little bit. They go out on the West Coast. They've lost some games. But I think inside they got Allen, who understands his role. And I think he's great in terms of being that center that wants to block shots, rebound, and basically just dunk anytime he can get the basketball. I think Evan Mobley is the other piece. You know, we talked about Scottie Barnes, Cade Cunningham. Mobley could be a franchise player. But right now, how does he fit in terms of when Mitchell comes and he's a ball-dominant guard? Garland is there. They even have Caris LeVert, who who's put up 40 points as well. So I think sometimes right now there's only one basketball Gallo, and they're trying to figure out how could everybody touch it and get enough, ball situations where they could be productive. I love what Kevin Love brings, the experience. He comes off the bench. Maybe LeVert has to come off the bench and give them that spark because there's too many guys scoring at the beginning. But this team is going to be a team that's going to be there at the end of the year as a top 4 or 5 seed in the East. And they could be scary because they have the combination of rim protector and Allen, Mobley, who's versatile, who could do a little bit of everything. And then you got two really good scorers at the guard position. But this is a big test for Mitchell. And you mentioned him, Gallo. This guy is a star player, an all-star, but he wants to be a superstar. To become a superstar, you have to dominate in the playoffs and win a playoff series, something he wasn't able to do in Utah. So it's going to be a process in the regular season, but I think this team will only be really measured what they bring in the playoffs, specifically for Donovan Mitchell. But I think the Cavaliers are going to be a tough team because they defend and they have a lot of weapons on offense.
PY, before we let you go, give me a game to watch tonight, and when's the next time we're going to see you on RDS?
We're going to be on RDS when the Cavaliers play the Raptors again.
Nice.
That's on the 28th. I think I got that game. There's another game, I think, against Brooklyn. I'd like to see against Kevin Durant. Listen, every game right now, to be honest, is anything could happen. I think that, you know, what's happening in Brooklyn with Kevin Durant, I think that they're winning games without Kyrie. And that's something that, hey, I think that their general manager, Sean Marks, is trying to maybe move Kyrie. I don't think anybody wants to touch him right now. But this is a little bit of humble pie for Kyrie because, hey, we're winning without you. So when you come back, bring the effort on both ends because this is how we're going to get better, being a defensive team that could get out in transition. And I think right now the NBA hasn't been better because, look, anybody could win any game. It's wide open on both ends. So excited for more games. And our Montreal guys are doing good. We talked about Benedict Mathurin. Last night, Boucher had 20 points. Luke and Thor had 21 points. Hoping for Ken Birch to get healthy. Montreal is an NBA city. Say it louder, Campbell and Gallo. Love you, guys. We don't
Thanks, PY.
Have a good one, fellas.
Oh, Montreal does is definitely produce NBA players. Just needs an NBA team now.
I'm ready for it, Campbell.
I think it has it's more likely than baseball or anything else.
Well, you compare it to baseball, we have nowhere for a baseball team to play.
Yeah.
But the Bell Center has some empty dates. I'm sure we could figure out something for an NBA team at the Bell Center.
I'm sure Jeff doesn't mind renting it out.
No doubt. Actually, he's told us specifically on TSN 690 he has no problem renting it out to an NBA team.
Now I'm hungry, though.
Go get that barbecue chicken. Give him that barbecue chicken. Last time in the church, dead pledge allegiance
to CDs and movies. Leave a reality. Someone who likes his barbecue chicken, Aaron Ward. What did he like about the Habs' win over the Penguins on the weekend? Next. It might sound a little something, but damn the game if it don't mean nothing. What
is game? Who got game? Where's the game in life? Behind the game, behind the game. Well, he's trusting the process, right? Trust the process. You remember that, fellas? It might feel good. Go get that barbecue chicken. Give him that barbecue chicken.